Welcome to Shiur Targum Parshas Ekev. The last few minutes of yesterday's Shiur, we started a certain topic, so I wanted to, we didn't really get a chance to do it thoroughly, so I wanted to just revisit the last couple of minutes of yesterday's Shiur. If you were here yesterday, it's good chazar. If you weren't here yesterday, so it's good learning it for the first time. And then we'll try to get a little bit further into some of the topics which are raised. So in Perek Yud, in the parasha, Perek Yud describes the end of the story with the Egel Azov. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu was recounting the story of the Egel Azov, the golden calf. He describes how the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him a second pair of luchos, a second set of tablets, and he placed them into the Aron, which he had made. And then sort of at a left field, Perek Yud, Pasuk Vav, the Torah seems to skip about 40 years. Uvnei Yisrael Nosum Bnei Eres Bnei Yakon Mosera. Klal Yisrael traveled from the wells of Bnei Yakon to Mosera. Shom Eis Aaron Vayikover Shom Vayichahen Elazar Bnei Tachtov. Aaron died. He was buried there, and his son Elazar took over as Kohen in his place. Very strange. I mean, that's from Parshas Chukas. So, and that's something that happened in the very last year that Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar. So all of a sudden, you know, the Torah is describing the events of the Egel Azov, and then just without warning, it jumps 40 years. So that's a very, very puzzling pasuk. That's probably the main thing that's puzzling the pasuk. But it's also puzzling in terms of some of the specific descriptions which the Torah provides over here. So the Torah says that Klal Yisrael traveled from Be'eros B'nei Yakon to Mosera, and Aaron died there. It sounds like Aaron died in Mosera. Now, back in Parshas Chukas, it's described how Aaron died in a place called Hor HaHor, the mountain of Hor. So what's going on over here that it says that he died in Mosera? And if we read the next pasuk, it just continues the perplexing question of where Klal Yisrael were exactly at this time. Misham Nasu HaGudgoda, from Mosera they traveled to Gudgod, I mean HaGudgoda Yotvasa, and from Gudgod they traveled to Yotvasa, Eretz Nachalei Moyim, a land that had all kinds of streams of water. So in other words, the place names that are mentioned over here, there's no mention of Hor HaHor. There's a mention of Be'eros Bnei Yakon, Mosera, Gudgod, and Yotvasa. So if we take a look back in Parshas Maaseh that describes the travels of the Jewish people, again, Parshas Maaseh lifts off the 42 different encampments that Klal Yisrael encamped while they were in the Midbar. So we find in Perek Lamed Gimel of Bamidbar, Pasuk Lamed, the following. Vayisu me Chashmona, vayachnu b'Moseros. They left Chashmona, they went to Moseros. Vayisu mi Moseros, vayachnu b'Bnei Yakon. They left Moseros, and they went to Bnei Yakon. Vayisu mi Bnei Yakon, vayachnu b'Chor HaGidgod. Vayisu mi Chor HaGidgod, vayachnu b'Yotvasa. Right, so the Pesukim over here describe a travelogue from Moseros to Bnei Yakon to Chor HaGidgod to Yotvasa. So the names are not identical to the names that are here in Parshas Ekev, but they're certainly very similar. Moseros, Mosera, Bnei Yakon, Be'eros, Bnei Yakon, Chor HaGidgod, Gudgoda, and Yotvasa is the same. So it sounds like it's describing the same places. However, there are two things that are striking. Here in the Pasuk in Ekev, it says that they traveled from Be'eros Bnei Yakon to Mosera. And in Maaseh, it says that they went from Moseros to Bnei Yakon. In other words, those two chanoyos, those two encampments, are reversed, even though Chor HaGidgod and Yotvasa, assuming that Chor HaGidgod is the same as Gudgoda, you know, it's similar enough, those are in the correct order. So, you know, it seems like we're describing the same thing, but with a nuanced difference. Also, if you look back in Maaseh, so they come to Yotvasa, and then it says, Vayisu mi Yotvasa, vayachnu ba'avrona, Vayisu me'avrono v'yachnu be'etzion gover. Vayisu me'etzion gover v'yachnu be'midbar sinhi kodesh. Vayisu mikodesh v'yachnu behor ahar b'ksei eretz edom. In other words, they travel from Yotvosa to Avrona to Etzion Gever to Midbar Tzin to Hor HaHor, you know, five stops from Yotvosa. And then when they come to Hor HaHor, it says, Vayal Aaron Kohen al Hor HaHor Vayomos Shom. Aaron dies there at Hor HaHor. So in other words, it's another five encampments from Yotvosa till they get to Hor HaHor and Aaron dies. And here, the way the Pasuk describes it in Akev, it sounds like Aaron is dying in Moseros, which, you know, is a good additional eight, you know, steps. It's eight encampments before they get to Har HaHar. So in other words, it's similar, but the differences are significant enough that it raises all kinds of questions. What's going on over here? Sounds like the Torah is describing something more or less the same, but it's not exactly identical. So how do you understand this? So both these issues, again, what is this pasuk doing here altogether? We were talking about the Chet Ego, and the travelogue seems to be totally off, or significantly off, in Parshas Ekev. Prompt Chazal, as quoted by Rashi and quoted by the Yonasan ben Uziel, to introduce the following idea over here. All right, so again, we saw this yesterday, but Chazer, and I think we'll get a better sense of why the Yonasan ben Uziel and Rashi say this in light of comparing and contrasting what it says in Ekev with what it says in Maaseh. So it says in the Yonasan ben Uziel in Pasuk Vav, Bnei Yisrael natalu min kufronei beirei b'nei yakon lemoseira. Klal Yisrael traveled by the cities that were by the wells of Bnei Yakon to Moseira. Tamon agachim ahon Amalek kad malach ba'arod. At that point, when they were in Moseira, Amalek went and fought against them. Again, Amalek is described in the Torah as the Melech Arod, the king of Arod. He went and fought against them. The Shama de Mis Aaron. He heard that Aaron had died, Vistaloko Anani Yakara, and the Anani Akovod had disappeared. Mido Akas al Yisrael al Krava Ahu, and because the king of Arad had made difficulties for Klal Yisrael with that battle, Bol Masuv Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael said, "That's it. We're going back to Mitzrayim. You know, we've had enough." Again, it's fascinating. We're not talking about the people who actually left Mitzrayim, or at least didn't leave Mitzrayim as adults. We're talking about 40 years later. You know, at most, they were children when they left Mitzrayim. And yet, you know, 40 years later, they run into this battle with the king of Arad, and they're so spooked, as it were, by that battle, they just say, okay, we had enough, we're going back. They weren't even there to go back, right? But in other words, we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. V'hadaru sheis matlin. They went back six encampments. They went backwards. Reduf, so that explains why it says Nasu mi Be'eros b'nei Yakon Moseira. They went from Be'eros b'nei Yakon back to Moseira. In other words, in Maaseh it says that they went from Moseiros to b'nei Yakon. That's when they were traveling forward. But now they went backwards from Hor HaHar. In other words, they were at Hor HaHar. At Hor HaHar, Aaron died. And then they were attacked by the Melech Arad. And they were so frightened by all of that, they went back. They went back from Bnei Yakon to Moseira. That was the last stop that they went back. But really, they retraced their steps all the way from Hor HaHar. They went from Hor HaHar to Kodesh, to Etzion Gever, to Avrona, to Yotvasa, to Chor HaGidgad. You know, they went all the way backwards. These various masaos, these various encampments as described in Maaseh, and they said, that's it, we're going back to Mitzrayim. In other words, we're going to, you know, take the highway in the other direction. We're going back. Ridofu b'nei Levi basrayon. The b'nei Levi ran after them, they chased them. V'katolu minahon tamnei g'neison. They had a battle, and eight of the families of Klal Yisrael were wiped out in this battle. It was a bloody battle, eight families. So after that, they decided, okay, we'll come back. You know, we're not going to go back to Mitzrayim. we'll get back on the path, right? And we will we'll go back to where we started from, resume the trip to Eretz Yisrael. Af mi b'nei Levi is ketilu arba genisa. And there were four families from b'nei Levi who were killed in that battle. In other words, it was a terrible, terrible battle. 12 families were wiped out because of this civil war that took place. Amru dein l'dein. So one said to another, each side said to the other, man garam lana ketola hada. Who caused us to have all of this bloodshed? Now it's interesting. You would think, what's the answer to that question? Who caused us all this bloodshed? The fact that the Jews decided they're going to go back to Mitzrayim, right? In other words, what are you doing, right? But that's not what they answer. Ela al the is rashalna b'mispeido the Aaron chasida. It must be because we didn't properly eulogize Aaron HaKohen. You didn't properly eulogize Aharon HaKohen. No, it's because he went back to Mitzrayim. So, l'chara, what they're saying is the following. Had we properly eulogized Aharon HaKohen, we would have understood on our own that it was foolish to go back to Mitzrayim. Had we appreciated what Aaron represented, we wouldn't have gone back to Mitzrayim. But we didn't really properly eulogize Aaron, which doesn't mean that we didn't use the right turns of phrase. It means, what's the point of a hesped? The point of a hesped is to recognize the character traits of the tzaddik or the person who passed away and to try to internalize them in yourself. That's a major point of the hesped. We should learn from the life of the person who passed away, especially a gadol hador like Aaron HaKohen, right? So had we internalized the lessons of Aaron HaKohen, we wouldn't have gone back to Mitzrayim. Had we internalized the lessons of Aaron HaKohen when the B'nai Levi came running after us, we would have said, we made a mistake, we'll go back with you. We wouldn't have fought them. I'm sure had the B'nai Levi caught up to them and said, I'm sure the B'nai Levi, before they started, they pulled out their swords, they said, come back, right? And it's only when the rest of B'nai Yisrael said, no, we're not going back. We're going to fight you if necessary. How could they have possibly fought against their own brothers? What about the legacy of Aaron HaKohen? Olev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom. Right? He wasn't, he was the antithesis of this fighting. So they weren't maspid Aaron HaKohen properly, so they didn't internalize his values, and that's how we found ourselves in this whole situation. That's the point that the Yonasan ben Uziel is bringing out. It's not just a random failing. In other words, we're thinking back over what we did, and we realize that, one of the things we did wrong was not to be maspid Aaron properly. We realize that that's at the root of all of this that happened because we didn't really learn the life lessons and the values from Aaron HaKohen. Oh, v'kavu tamon mispeido kol b'nei Yisrael. So all of B'nai Yisrael, realizing that they hadn't been maspid Aaron HaKohen properly, they made a hesped right then and there in that place. Ki'ilu tamon mis Aaron v'skavar tamon. It was a hesped of such a magnitude that it was if the passing of Aaron HaKohen was fresh. You can give a hesped years later and it could be meaningful, but there's something particularly strong and meaningful about a hesped, when the person has just passed away. The agony, the feelings are still so powerful. It's hard to have that same level of emotion even 30 days later, certainly sometime later. So here, they made such a significant hesped on Aaron HaKohen, it was as if he had passed away, right then and there. So, uvechein, and thus, shamesh ala elazer b'rei ba'asroi. And therefore, and thus, Elazar served in his place. So what do you mean, and thus Elazar served in his place? So the what's the uvechein, right? The uvechein, and thus, is an addition from the Onos HaMenuzio, doesn't appear in the pasuk. I think what he's trying to say is as follows. If we're going with this pshat, meaning that Aaron HaKohen has already been gone for some, not a very long time, but in other words, he didn't die. When the pasuk says, Shom Eis Aaron Vayikaver Shom, it doesn't really literally mean that he died there and was buried there. It means they made a hesped at that point in time with such emotion as if he had died and was buried there. Okay, fine. But then you're stuck explaining the last phrase in the pasuk, "Vayichahen Elazar beno Tachtov," and then his son Elazar took over after him. No, that's not true, right? Elazar took over after Aaron actually died, not after they made the hesped for Aaron, right? In other words, it says in the pasukim in Chukas, you know, Elazar and Moshe and Aaron went up to Hor HaHor, right? Moshe Rabbeinu helped Aaron take off the big day kahuna. He put them on Elazar. They came down from the mountain, and it was clear that Elazar had taken over as the Kohen Gadol. So then the pasuk, the phrase over here, "Vayichahen Elazar beno Tachtov," l'chara doesn't sound like it's correct, right? In other words, it sounds like it's describing an event that took place already. So the answer is, according to the Yonos ben Uziel, Elazar certainly had formally stepped into his role when his father died, but he was only truly able to take his father's place after the hesped. What does that mean? Right, so if we're explaining correctly, the hesped enabled the people to appreciate the legacy of Aaron. So now that they could appreciate the legacy of Aaron, they were in a position to appreciate the fact that Elazar was taking over. Right? If they didn't really understand what Aaron represented, they certainly didn't understand what Elazar represented. Once they understood that Elazar was continuing the legacy, once they understood the legacy of Aaron HaKohen, so now they could understand that Elazar was continuing the legacy of Aaron HaKohen. So that's the Uvechein. Uvechein Shamesh Elazar Berei Be'asroi. And thus, Elazar, the son of Aaron, was able to serve in Aaron's place because now the people understood what Aaron represented. Okay, so now we understand Elazar represents that as well. Right? So the way the Targum Yonos of Uziel explains the post, and again, this is largely in Rashi as well, Rashi talks about this in, right, these psukim vav and zayin. The way the Yonos ben Uziel understands the psukim is as follows. Uvnei Yisrael nasu mebeiros b'nei yakon mosera. Bnei Yisrael were running away from Hor HaHor after the battle with the Melech Arad, and they went backwards. They went backwards from Be'eros b'nei yakon to mosera. Again, why do I know that it's backwards? Because if you look at Masei, in Parshas Maaseh, they went to Bnei Yakon, and they went to Mosera before they went to Bnei Yakon. Here they're going to Bnei Yakon before they're going to Mosera. Right? So now they're going backwards. They went backwards, and then, as is not described directly in the Chumash, when they got to Mosera, the Bnei Levi caught up to them, and they had this whole battle. Then they realized that they had been negligent in properly being maspid Aaron HaKohen, so they were maspid him. Shom es Aaron vayikaver shom. The hesped was of such a magnitude and with such emotion that it was as if Aaron died and was buried there. Vayichahen Elazar beno Tachtov. And like we said, Elazar was then able to really step into his father's place because they appreciated what Aaron HaKohen was. Misham nasu hagud goda. And then from there, they continued going forward to good gold. Right, so in other words, Pasuk Zion is now describing how they're, you know, back on the path, retracing their steps going forward on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Right, so in other words, they were turned around after this hesped, and they continue going back on the way. That's again, it's complicated, but that's the way that Rashi and the Yonos ben Uziel, again, based on the Midrashim of Chazal, understand what's going on over here in these pesukim. So then we're left with the original question. What? Okay, this is a very, very interesting way of explaining the psukim. But what's it got to do with the chet ha'egel, right? So to that, Rashi gives the answer. V'samach, this is in Rashi, the end of Pasuk Zayin. V'samach Moshe tochach hazol l'shviras haluchos, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, who's giving musar to Klal Yisrael, again, look what you did. I mean, here was the 40th year after you left Mitzrayim. You were ready to go back to Mitzrayim. You had a whole fight. The Bnei Levi had to go fight you, and people died. It was terrible. Look at you. So Moshe Rabbeinu juxtaposed these words of Musar with the Shviras HaLuchos, with his words about the breaking of the Luchos. Lomar, Shekosha Misosin Shol Tzadikim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiyom Shnishtabu Bo HaLuchos. Right? So A, it tells us that the deaths of tzaddikim, i.e. Aaron in this case, are as disturbing as the day on which the luchos were broken. Right? Chazal say something similar in a different context. They talk about how, you know, the Tzom Gedalia, Right? Why do we fast for Gedalia ben Achikam? I mean, he was a great person, but to devote a whole fast day to him. So Chazal saying the Gemara Rosh Hashanah to tell us that the Misas Tzadikim is as painful as Sreifas Beis Elokeinu. We make a tainus for Tisha B'Av because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We make a tainus for Tzom Gedalia because the Tzadik passed away. So the death of a Tzadik is like the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So here too, similar idea. The death of a Tzadik is like the breaking of the Luchos. Although a Diacha, and a second idea that's expressed by this juxtaposition, Shohuk Shalom Masha Amu Nitnarosh Lefrosh Mimenu Kiyom Sha'asu Bo Iso Egel. Right? Also to tell us that this decision that they made to go back to Mitzrayim was as painful as the day on which they made the Egel Azov. Right? In both cases, the B'nai Levi had to get involved, you know, to try to bring the people back to the rightful way. This decision, after 40 years, we had enough, we're going back to Mitzrayim, even though it's not described directly in the Chumash, but it was as painful an incident, as terrible an incident, as the Chet HaEgel, right? So that's the juxtaposition that Rashi brings out over here. Yeah. Okay. That's Al Derech HaMedrash. A lot of the Rishonim give different explanations, Al Derech HaPshat, in a more pshat approach, a more simple approach, because again, this whole story with the B'nai Levi and everything like that really isn't explicit in the Chumash at all. One of those explanations is given by the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra suggests the following. Even though it looks like in our psukim that the place names are similar to the ones described in Parshas Maaseh, that would be a mistake. Right, they're similar, but they're not exactly the same. The Psukim and Masai talk about the Bnei Yakon. Here it talks about the Be'eros Bnei Yakon. The Psukim and Masai talk about Moseros. Here it talks about Mosera. The Psukim in Masai talk about Chor HaGidgod. Here it talks about Gudgoda. Now again, you look at that and you say, okay, it's 90% of the word is the same. It sounds like it's the same place, but the Ibn Ezra says no. No, not true, right? All these places are new places. They're not mentioned in Maaseh. And all of these places are basically in the vicinity of Har Ahar. And what's being described over here is exactly the same thing that's described in Chukas. It's just giving us some extra information that these were the places in the vicinity of Har Ahar that Klal Yisrael traveled to it, and Aaron HaKohen passed away at Hor HaHar. And he adds the following, very, very interesting. He says, Hinei peirashti l'cha, ki Yisrael lo ikrivu zvachim achar nasa mehar Sinai. It's my opinion, says the Ibn Ezra, that from the time Klal Yisrael left Har Sinai, they did not bring any karbonos. They didn't bring any karbonos. He explains that earlier in the end of Sefer Shmos. Again, not everybody agrees. V'itochen she'krivum b'vom el tzalmona upunon. But it's possible that when they came close to Eretz Yisrael, they were able to acquire some of the things necessary for some of the karbonos, that's when they started bringing karbonos, very, very close to their entry into Eretz Yisrael. And Elazar began his Kahuna Gedola at that time on Rosh Hashanah. V'shimesh b'makom hanikra be'er b'yom ha-kippurim. And Elazar served in a place known as the Be'er, as the well, on Yom Kippur. So let's take apart what he's saying over here, right? So basically he's saying, what does it mean, Vayichahen Elazar beno Tachtov, that Elazar took over for his father Aaron? What does it mean to take over, right? Especially if they weren't bringing karbonos all of those years since they left Har Sinai. So the Ibn Ezra suggests that Elazar took over for his father insofar as he began being Makriv Karbonos. And he wasn't able, so they started being Makriv Karbonos again, right? And Elazar stepped into the role of Kohen Gadol by beginning to do that. And that happened the Rosh Hashanah after Aaron passed away. Now, why the Rosh Hashanah after Aaron passed away? So here let's do the following chronology. Aaron HaKohen passed away, Rosh Chodesh Av. There were 30 days of mourning for Aaron HaKohen, right? So the Ibn Ezra seems to assume that during that period of time, Elazar certainly would not have brought Karbanos. It's a questionable assumption, but he assumes like that. So now we're up to Rosh Chodesh Elul. And he doesn't really explain how he gets from there to Rosh Hashanah. He seems to assume it would be an auspicious thing to start his Kahuna Gadol on Rosh Hashanah. So he assumes that Elazar started on Rosh Hashanah. And he was mistama in a place of water to serve on Yom Kippur. Why was he in a place of water on Yom Kippur? Because so much of the avoda of Yom Kippur involves the Kohen Gadol immersing himself in water, right? There were 5 tevilos and 10 kiddushim, 10 sanctifications of his hands and feet that took place over the course of Yom Kippur. So that's what it describes in the next pasuk, Misham Nasu HaGudgoda, Umin HaGudgoda Yadvasa Eretz Nachalei Mayim. They went to a place that had a lot of water that enabled Elazar to serve as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur because water was available. We think, oh, it's no big deal. You get water. Turn on the faucet. It's not so poshut. He needed a place to be able to be tovil. And the only place that he could be tovil for the avodah of Yom Kippur was Yotvasa, where he went to that place. The Ramban over here, we don't have time, but if you want over Shabbos, take a look at the Ramban as he customarily does. The Ramban is not so thrilled with this interpretation of the Ibn Ezra, but he offers yet another interpretation, al derech hapshat, different from Rashi and the Yonasan ben Uziyo, to explain what's going on in these psukim over here. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zakos es Yisrael, Afikach Irbalohem Taro Mitzvos, Shenemar,